Are we there yet?
Well, you probably know that cry. Sometimes you hear it when the car's barely out of the garage. Actually, my children said this not so long ago when we hadn't got to the railway station, which is 3 kilometres from where we live. Travelling with kids can be testing at times. Even the thought of it can put you off planning a big trip. But there is help at hand. And with a few tricks up your sleeve, you can make travelling with kids a more fun adventure. My next guests, Jane Tara and Dominic Sweeney, have a website called Itchy Feet, especially for kids who travel. And they're also the authors of Around the World in 80 Ways, which is 80 fun things to do with little travellers on the really longer trips, I think. They're with me in the Life Matters studio and they join me now. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Richard.
Jane, how many kids do you have between you?
Well, we have 4 between us. I have 2 and Dom has 2 as well. We've got 4 boys under 12.
How old are they exactly?
I have a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old. Yep. Dom has an 8 and a 5-year-old.
Right. And I understand the whole gang's known as DJ Riot.
Yes, Riot. We have a Raffy, Indy, Oscar and Tige. So, yes, they're known collectively as Riot.
And have you done much travelling with them?
Yes, we have. I've travelled extensively with my oldest son, which is how this all came about. I actually travelled for 5 years non-stop with my 12-year-old. I was on the road for 5 years with him. And I was working at international schools around the world doing performance and drama workshops and things. And I kind of realised that there was this this kind of population of global children out there. And I was trying to find things that would help my own son engage with the travel experience and also to help these other children engage with some of the activities I was doing with them at the schools. And realised that there wasn't a great deal of material out there at the time when I was doing this, and started to collect and sort of write and put together things. And that happened over a period of years before Dom and his boys came into my life, and we started to kind of formulate this together as a team.
I want to get your perspectives, Dom. Have you done much travelling?
Yeah. Jane's very good at avoiding questions. We ran into this issue at Christmas because there's 6 of us.
Yeah.
We can't travel in a 5-seater car, and we have 2 5-seater cars between us. So we have that terrible dilemma, for example, when we went up to Caloundra and then to Ballina coming back at the Christmas holidays. Coming back, 4 of them went in the car, and then I had to catch the train with Tide.
We're like the royal family. Yeah, we don't.
We've got to work out ways to move. So, but it becomes an adventure too, because I took the bus and the train with
one of them.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah, we find different ways to.
You could get a 7-seater.
We are in the process of doing that.
We are committing to a 7-seater.
So, in the car, I don't know, heading up the Pacific Highway, then, and someone says, "Are we there yet?" What do you do, Dom?
How many languages can you say that in? That's one of our solutions.
I usually say that's illegal.
Yeah. Well.
Don't say it in this car, please.
That's right.
It's illegal. I know not to.
I could sustain that for a very short period of time with my kids.
We don't get it too much, surprisingly. You know, it's because the word's out that there are other things to do, and because we actually use the book. So chuck the book at them, say, okay, what do you want to do? And so the conversation starts. We didn't take it from this, but the art of conversation is a great opener for ideas and things. And if you get them into conversations that are more abstract than you would think, like, we, you know, everyone's sick of playing I Spy, so we do it.
Spotto.
Spotto's banned because my arm is so.
There's a lot of bruises all up and down my arm, and it started again. When you see a yellow car.
I did say that it had been banned in a place, but they tend to bring it back up again. So every time you see a yellow car, you get the chance to hit the person if you say Spotto. There's also Punch Buggy and Chicken Wings and a whole range of other things for every different.
Are they all equally violent, Dom?
It's a violent activity and one that's not recommended, particularly for the driver.
Yes.
See, when you've got 4 boys in a car, you know, you have to come up with other ways of engaging them, because that does get a bit rough and tumble, you know.
And you can get into it. And I'm one of 5, actually. The others are all girls, and I was the biggest and oldest. But I still remember that you still get into essentially Western Front type situations about millimetres of space.
Yes.
How do you avoid that?
Well, like Dom said, we try to engage them in conversation. I find that while we're in Sydney, we both act as taxi drivers to our kids, you know, and life is so busy and we're constantly rushing from one thing to another. Whereas when we're on the road, we actually get to have conversations with them and catch up. And the kids can't get away from us.
And we are extremely lucky in that Jane's 12-year-old Indy is an exceptional entertainer. He's a stand-up comedian in his own right. And he just commands the show. And as long as he's around, everything falls into place. It makes it easy when you've got someone at the front who everything else falls into place. Now, it might not be equal, but they accept it.
Where are you on things like, you know, games, like, I mean the electronic games, because there are times when the old DS or the iPhone or something like that, that can buy you some time.
Absolutely, right, our boys have them, and they have their iPods with their apps and everything, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why we're trying to develop apps as well is because we actually want to get them up out of those games. We want them to have that opportunity but to still engage with the world around them, you know, with things like treasure maps and things where they're having to look at the world and where they're at, whether they're, you know, travelling overseas or on a road trip within Australia. So I'm absolutely all for it. I think there's a time and a place for it, but I also think there's a time and a place to actually converse with your kids and find out where they're at and what's happening. And sometimes it's so tempting just to give them the iPod and just
You make strict rules. There's no iPod during the week, the school week.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's apportioned to the weekend and then it's only for a couple of hours. So, you know, making sure that there are clear boundaries for that. And on long trips, that's completely different.
Absolutely.
But our objective is to get them out of... Everything is war games. You know, how do you move away from that? All the interesting things, even the less violent ones, are like pirate ships shooting cannon shots. Everything is to do with actual destruction. So how do you make an interesting game
That's
not about destruction.
All right, on Life Matters, if you've just joined us, my guests, Dominic Sweeney and Jane Tara, and we're talking about really keeping the kids going on a long trip. They've written a book about this, Around the World in 80 Ways, and you can find details on the website. We have been talking about long trips, and we've been talking about them as if they're interchangeable, a long plane flight or a long car trip, but they're different, aren't they, Jane? If you think about it, in the car, it's really just you. It's a private space. Mm. So on a plane, it's public. And the other thing is, in the car, you can always stop and get out and
absolutely
all those things. Yeah. So in a plane, it is more challenging.
It is challenging. I think that you need to teach your children basic etiquette. You know, travel etiquette. Mm. They need to have manners. And I think, you know, this is one of the things, I hear this debate and I see it on forums, people who, you know, just want child-free planes to travel on. I think that children can be wonderful travellers if they're given the opportunity to learn how to be travellers. You know, you just have to teach your children to have manners and that there are certain rules on the plane and, you know, there are consequences if they break those rules. And I've never had a problem with my kids on a plane. They've always been exceptionally well behaved. Not that they always are. At home, they're not. They can be they can be horrors, but on a plane, they know the rules and they stick to them.
Let's talk about some of the things you can do on a plane. Then wacky walking. What is that?
Wacky walking. Well, I have a background.
You both looked at each other there for a moment.
We practice it at home all the time.
I'm not doing, you know, my John Cleese
thing. We both have backgrounds in drama, so we tried to put some games into the book that you need to get your kids up and burning off some excess energy, but it needs to be done in a safe space. So there
are... For everybody on the plane.
For everyone on the plane. So there are games at the end of the book where you get them up and they do wacky walking, or they have to walk a certain way, such as, you know, they pretend that they're on clouds or they're walking over broken glass. And this can be done from one end of, like, one side of a plane to another in a very, very small space. The kids love it. They have a lot of fun. They have a really good laugh. They burn off some energy and they go back to their seat and behave, hopefully.
Good for the circulation too.
Absolutely, yeah.
What about on the road, not so much on a plane, waving at the people? That's another game, isn't it?
That's actually a favourite.
How do other drivers respond to that?
I'm very careful about that. Jane has a couple of stories with her younger one that
The sweet or sour.
Sweet or sour.
You know, are people going to be sweet or sour? Are they going to wave or are they going to frown?
It depends what you think the kid is saying.
Exactly.
Our children just wave. They usually just do a wave.
Right.
So they wave and they smile and either they get a glare in return or they get a wave in return.
Right.
And a lot of people do respond and they understand, especially when you're on the open road in Australia, they'll give a wave.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, you do get a lot of sour and the kids find that hilarious too, that someone won't just respond to them.
And none of our children swear either.
No.
Oh, right, okay.
Not at all.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because if you think about it, if you're on a boat, and I don't spend nearly enough time on boats, but even if you're just on the ferry and you go past another boat, kids will wave,
yes,
and everyone waves back. Yeah. There's this something about being on a boat where you always wave, but in a car it's different.
We do.
We wave a bit, but we do get a lot of sour people on the road, and understandably if they've been driving for hours
and I don't know
with their own kids in the car.
I don't know if you've noticed, Richard, the more you get into the country, the more people still do give you the wave. You know, so it depends how city-fied you are. Like the closer to the city, the less you're likely to wave. I've travelled all the way up to Kununurra and back, and there's certain places that you can sort of say, oh, it starts from about here, that people will again wave to each other.
Right. There's a wave zone.
Yeah.
It's interesting too, because the oldest, Indy, is 12, and he finds it a little bit embarrassing, so it's almost a challenge for him to actually engage with some of the people who are driving past. And he's actually said to me, it's a little embarrassing, but... And I'm like, you don't know them. You're never going to see them again, you know. So it gets him to step out of his comfort zone a little too, which you need to do when you're on the road, and you need to teach your children to step outside their comfort zone simply by being on the road, but also to make friends and to connect with other people when you're travelling.
Now, with the book or alongside the book, you've also created apps.
First app's going up on iTunes. It's going through the process today. That's for a younger traveller from 4 to 6. It's called Trip Travels, going through the first long-haul experience of a long flight. And this little boy, Trip, loves the whole adventure. So he talks his way through a picture book version of what's going on, and then there's a couple of games to play on the app as well. It's very simple.
Right. Okay. And Jane, you're no stranger to children's literature. You've written a number of books. Travel always been a theme?
I've always been travelling.
Right.
So, no, the majority of my books are picture books for children. They're published around Asia mainly. And I've also had a novel published in America, but I've always wanted to merge it. I'm a passionate traveller, and I love having my kids on the road and engaging them while they're there with the whole travel experience and creating these things for them. And so Dom and I, we were actually on our way overseas a couple of years ago and started talking about this and realised that it was a way of actually having a whole lifestyle and incorporating all of our passions.
Do you know what I'm thinking as I talk to you too? I think a lot of this is about attitude, because I have to say that I tend to dread the whole long haul thing with the kids. It's sort of something, let's face it, I kind of feel you've got to get through it. You're starting from a different point in a way.
Well, the other thing is Oscar, my eldest now, was just under one when I started a trip from Perth to Kununurra with him, and the first hour and a half he cried all the way, and I thought, oh my God, we've only got 3,400 kilometres left. But the rest of the trip, jammed in this little car with, I went up there to do a PhD, with a life for a year in this little car, he was fantastic. It's just...
It's a shift.
You get past a certain point, you have to do it, and you do shift. And it's... Being locked in together is a gift, not a trial, and that's what we're on about.
And that's the shift that you're talking about. And it's that thing of we all want to get to the destination, you know, and we're missing out on the journey there. There are so many things to do with your kids on the journey, but we're all about getting to that destination.
Well, I think that's a good point to wrap this up. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining me today.
Thank you for
Pleasure.
Having us.
Thank you.
That's Jane Tara and Dominic Sweeney, and their book is Around the World in 80 Ways, 80 Fun Things to Do with Little Travellers on Long Trips, and we'll put details of the book and indeed what else they do on the website, abc.net.au/rn/lifematters is where you'll find us. If you've got something to say, if you've got a story actually about travelling with kids, use the website or jump on Facebook and let us know. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. You're with Richard Addy.